KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:03, we have cloudy skies, some drizzle or sprinkles in the Atlantic area. Most of that has moved off to our east now. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Republican voters in Iowa's 3rd Congressional District failed to push a candidate across the 35% mark that's needed to secure the GOP nomination during the primaries yesterday. So a convention will be held to pick the party's candidate for November. Brad Zahn, a former Urbandale mayor and a current member of the state Senate, was the top vote-getter with just under 25% in the primary.
My message is not going to change. Obviously, we're going to be having a lot of conversations with all the delegates. I've already contacted one person, called all of them, probably, I'm guessing it's probably been a couple months ago.
Robert Kramer, a construction company executive from Johnston, was just 3.5 percentage points behind Zahn.
It would be tough to really pull away from the pack. But we feel like, being our first time out and not being a politician, that we ran a really good campaign, had a lot of good volunteers doing a lot of work, and so we're very pleased with where we're ending up, and we think we can now make a good case to the delegates that we'd be the right guy for the job.
The third place finisher with just over 20% of the vote was Matt Schultz, a former Council Bluffs city councilman who is currently serving as Iowa's Secretary of State. And Schultz said that they're always thought that this would go to a convention. He says he's been preparing a convention strategy, and now they're going to execute it. His campaign's always been about the grassroots, and he feels like a nominating convention is the great place for him. Six candidates rushed to run in the district after Republican Congressman Tom Latham's surprise announcement in December that he would not seek re-election. Iowa Renewable Fuels Association Executive Director Monty Shaw finished fourth in the race with nearly 17% of Tuesday's primary vote, followed by David Young, a former aide to Senator Grassley, who finished in fifth with about 15.5%. The other candidate, Des Moines PE teacher Joe Granadette, or rather Granadette, finished with just 666 votes. Iowa's just one of 11 states that require a candidate to secure 35% of the vote in a primary to become the party's general election nominee. Iowa Republican Party leaders have not set the date or location where party delegates in the 3rd District will select a congressional nominee. A nominating convention is a rarity in Iowa politics. The last time it happened was in 2002, when Republicans chose Steve King as their congressional candidate in Iowa's old 5th District. King had finished first in a four-way primary with just under 30% of the vote. Well, Joni Ernst is the Iowa Republican Party nominee for the U.S. Senate after defeating four other candidates in the primary election.
We have one common goal, and that is to defeat Bruce Braley.
Congressman Bruce Braley will face Ernst for the Senate seat now held by the retiring Democrat Tom Harkin. Ernst praised her GOP opponents, Sam Clovis, Mark Jacobs, Scott Shaben, and Matt Whitaker.
What I'd like to do is work really hard to gain the trust and the support of all of their supporters also, because it is going to take all of us pulling together to unite this party and win in November.
Ernst, a state senator and National Guard officer from Red Oak, drew a lot of national attention this spring when she released a TV ad in which she talked about castrating hogs. Ernst referred to the ad last night as she talked about growing up on a farm, walking beans, canning food, and feeding hogs.
And yes, some of you may know that I did more than just feed the hogs. We will, Washington, we will.
And Sam Clovis, a Morningside College economics professor who was making his first run for any type of political office, finished second Tuesday with 18% of the vote.
We had a fantastic run. We did really good. I think nobody gave us a chance to come even close.
Clovis, who lives in Hinton, carried his home county of Woodbury along with other conservative western Iowa counties, where he had name recognition as a radio talk show host. Clovis says his campaign gave a voice to the conservative movement in the state, and he says he will now work to help unify Iowa Republicans. Mark Jacobs, the former CEO of a Texas energy company who spent over $1.5 million of his own money in the race, finished third with just under 17% of the vote. Jacobs talked by phone with Ernst and told his supporters he's pledged his 100% support to her campaign. Jacobs spent more than $1.5 million of his own money on the race, as I mentioned. Matt Whitaker of Clive, a former federal prosecutor, finished fourth with 7.5% of the vote in the primary. And Whitaker says that Ernst is an exciting candidate. Scott Shaben, the fifth-place candidate, finished with a little less than 1.5% of the votes. Bruce Bailey was unopposed in his bid for the Democratic Party's U.S. Senate nomination. Bailey says he'll take his campaign to all corners of the state.
I know that there will be a clear choice in this race between my proven record of bringing people together to deliver results for Iowa and fighting for working families and my opponent's right-wing obstructionist views that put them out of step with Iowa and hurt working families.
Braley, a lawyer from Waterloo who was first elected to Congress in 2006, says there will be a sharp contrast between himself and Ernst.
And my focus is on helping Iowans understand the clear choice that they have in this race. They're going to be hearing me talking about my ideas to restore the minimum wage and my opponent's opposition to increasing the minimum wage.
Also in political news, Iowa Governor Terry Branstad easily won the Republican nomination for governor Tuesday as he seeks a record sixth term in office. Branstad had no trouble in the primary in which he faced conservative political activist Tom Hoefling. Branstad will now run against Democrat State Senator Jack Hatch of Des Moines in the November general election. In world headlines, the Taliban have released a video of the moment U.S. soldier Bowie Bergdahl, or rather Bo Bergdahl, was freed and turned over to the U.S. forces in Afghanistan. In the 17-minute video, the Taliban described the deal to swap Bergdahl for five Taliban detainees as a significant achievement for the insurgents. After 5 years in captivity, the 28-year-old Bergdahl is reported to be in stable condition at a military hospital in Germany. Also, at least eight people have been killed and 14 wounded in the latest suicide bombing in Iraq. Officials said the bomber targeted a group of pro-government, anti-militant Sunni militiamen west of the Iraqi capital. The bomber struck as the militiamen were patrolling a camp for families who had fled the months of fighting in western Anbar province. Finally, in the news, a private survey shows U.S. businesses pulled back on hiring in May, adding the fewest jobs in 4 months. Payroll processor ADP says private employers added 179,000 jobs last month, down from 215,000 in the previous month. April's figure was revised slightly lower. The figure suggests the government's jobs report to be released Friday could also show a modest slowdown from April's big gain of 288,000 jobs. In our funeral report this morning, Arthur Wheelock, age 75, of Anita, died Sunday at his home. Services for Art Wheelock will be today at 10:30 at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care in Anita has arrangements. Doris Lindemann, age 85, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Heritage House. Services for Doris Lindemann will be today at 11 o'clock at the Atlantic Gospel Chapel. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Edwin Mihalik, age 87, of Harlan, died Sunday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Memorial services for Edmund Mihalik will be held today at 1 o'clock at the Shelby Methodist Church. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Evelyn Northrup, age 95, of Audubon, died Sunday at the Audubon County Hospital. Services for Evelyn Northrup will be Thursday at 10:30 at the Hamlin Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Jesse Leeper, age 97, of Greenfield, died Saturday at the Adair County Hospital. Funeral services for Jesse Leeper will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Kara Christensen, age 88, of Kimbleton, died Sunday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Kara Christensen will be held Thursday at 11 a.m. at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton. OD Funeral Home in Kimbleton has arrangements. Nancy Young, age 77, of Oakland, died May the 7th at her home. Memorial services for Nancy Young will be Thursday at 11 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reagan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Norma Shields, age 91, of Messina, died Sunday at the Corning Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Norma Shields will be Thursday at 2 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Julie Hansen, age 59, of Davenport and formerly of Elkhorn, died May the 29th. A celebration of life service for Julie Hansen will be tomorrow at 2:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Cemetery. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Mary Brooks, age 83, of Harlan, died Sunday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Mary Brooks will be held on Friday at 11 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Max Hummel, age 96, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Oakland, died Saturday at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Max Hummel will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reagan Veith Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Eldo H. Meyer, age 96, who is formerly of the Atlantic area, died May the 17th. Graveside services with full military honors for Eldo Meyer will be held June 20th at 9 a.m., followed by a Celebration of Life memorial service on June the 20th at 10 a.m. at the Lincoln Memorial Funeral Home in Lincoln, Nebraska. And Howard Hoover, age 66, of Fontenelle, died Friday at the Good Samaritan Society in Fontenelle. Private family services will be held for Howard Hoover at a later date. The Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle is assisting the family with arrangements. That is a check of the news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.